Wasn't it nice to have the choir this morning? Thank you all. Thank you, Perry, for this. It is not a rare thing for me to have a spelling error in the bulletin. And so I had to make a special note to Sandy and to the others. The title really should have an S on the end of mornings. That first Easter mornings. Because now that we look back on it, 2,000 years later, we've had some time to contemplate these stories. We kind of see in our mind how it all makes sense given Jesus' life and what's happened since. But I think it's important for us to remember that on that first Easter mornings, there were a lot of experiences that a lot of people had that were not the same, and they didn't understand, and there was a lot of confusion and a lot of heartache, and there was just a lot going on. That's how our movement started. Not with clarity that everybody could identify the major components of the faith. That didn't even happen for hundreds of years. And even today we have these moments where we go back and forth on what does it really mean to follow Jesus. But all this started in total chaos and confusion. We see in the story today that the women go to take care of Jesus' body because his death had happened at a point where they didn't have time to do it before the Sabbath, and so they had to wait. And so Sunday was the first opportunity that they had, and they went very early in the morning. And so we see from their perspective this story of an empty grave of men dressed in gleaming garments telling them things, of them running back to the disciples and being told that they were probably crazy. From the disciples' perspective, they're sitting in the room, had now having a couple days thinking about what all this meant. They had given up everything to follow Jesus. They had been laughed at. Their families had rejected them. All these things had happened because they believed in this Jesus. And then just a couple days ago, it seemed all to go away. And so they're sitting in the room when the women bust in the door. And it says that their response was that they thought it appeared as nonsense. You see, the women, it says, they responded by remembering Jesus' words. The disciples responded by thinking, well, this must be nonsense. And then Peter responds by running to the tomb. Just a little bit later, the next passage tells us that Jesus met two on the road to Emmaus and that they didn't recognize him. And as a matter of fact, it says in Mark chapter 16 that Jesus appeared to others and that they didn't recognize him because he was in a different form. And so add on to the whole Easter story that Jesus was possibly appearing to people in a different form and that they only knew him in things like breaking of the bread or in the messages that he gave them. It was just very confusing. But there were a lot of forms, a lot of messages. Like I was talking with the kids, there were a lot of symbols going on, and people had to figure out what the message was to them. Several weeks ago, when we started this journey, I talked to you on Ash Wednesday about beginning a journey to Easter. I talked about us looking at our own lives and figuring out what it might mean for us to find our best lives, to live our best selves, to be the best that we could be for others, and to love them as much as we could. And then over those weeks, we talked about wandering. And that wasn't just sort of stuck in there for no reason. It was stuck in there because I really believe that we see in the story of Easter that Jesus and that the risen Christ find ways to find us. And ways to find us that are particular to us. When I was a kid, I was the youngest of five, and you know, from a very early age, I thought about becoming a minister. And I don't know if I've said this from the pulpit or not, but we don't have any ministers in my family. And so I was odd, to say the least. I tell people, actually, that my family's pedigree is much more criminal than religious. My aunt was the head madam of all the houses of ill repute in the Midwest for the mob, my great aunt. In a way, I have some sense of pride about that. I don't know why, or that's probably not the right thing to feel, but it sort of feels kind of cool to be able to say that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole bunch of others that aren't so cool, and I don't know if that's inspiring or not. I guess it shouldn't be. But the whole point is that I felt this from a very young age, and the key to for me, the most important thing that I've ever learned in my life, and I hope we all have an ability to learn it, is that that experience that I could have in church when the choir sang or the minister walked up in the robe or we did the doxology or the communion, those moments when I could feel and experience God were also available to me outside of that building. And that, my friends, is the most important thing I've ever, ever learned. Because that opened it all up for me. And I began to see that I didn't have to have the same experience as other people in order to encounter Christ. Just like this passage. That you don't have to have the same experience as everyone else. For all those people that tell you, this is what you got to do, and here's how you have to do it, and all that different stuff, you don't have to pay attention to them. For God has created in us the image of God, and that we can find God, and that God can find us. That what is most important is for you to be authentically you. Whatever that might mean. You see, on that first Easter morning, there were some that believed and remembered, and there were some that thought it was all nonsense, and there were some that went pursuing it a little bit further. And all of those were okay. There's not a script, we learn, for encountering the risen Christ. We just follow our best life, be our most authentic self, and learn to watch. It's sort of like earlier when we hid these around in the yard for the kids. It's sort of like God plants these in our lives every day, every week, and that we have an opportunity, if we're key-eyed and key-spirited enough, to find them. And you'll find them in different places than everybody else, but they'll still be from God, and they'll still lead us to Christ. So, my friends, the good news is this. This is your Easter morning. Just however you are, and however you might be, those words we say that whoever you are, wherever you are in life's journey, you're welcome here, is not just about us inviting people into our midst. It's an affirmation that we believe that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, God is there. And we would sure like people to gather together for us to figure out what God is telling us. You are welcome. This is your Easter. This is the day of our resurrection and an opportunity to see something and find something new. Will you? Will I?